You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, and Peter is writing to this people that are scattered abroad about false teachers. I don't know if you have a tendency to listen to the broadcast, but we've been word by word through 1 Peter and 2 Peter on the daily broadcast, and it has helped me immensely. Especially when you get to 2 Peter, and he pulls no punches. He said in verse number 2, chapter 2, verse 1, he said there'll be many false prophets, and they're privily, they're going to secretly come in your church, in your life, privily. And he said, many shall follow their pernicious ways. Pernicious is ruinous ways. Not some, but many. I wonder how many will make it to the rapture. This Sunday we'll recognize members that have been here 25 years to 44 years. And to me, it's so amazing how many. And I thank God that people have stayed. But I'll tell you what, through the years, and this is a large ministry, and God's been good, and I'm so thankful for all that He does, but more leave than stay. And that's in every church in America right now. We're closing over, I've heard two different numbers, 50, and I heard 80 churches a week in America right now. We're in trouble. We're so casual with God. We're just indifferent with God. Now, I'm not trying to rebuke God's people, but I just believe that we could be living for God when He comes again. And He begins to deal with these false teachers, and they make covetousness, and they do this for themselves to be covetous and feigned words. They use words, and they'll hook you in. A lot of the words, as you read the false teachers of the Bible, they do it with questions. Why is it? Why is it that so many people leave churches in America? Because they're backslidden. It's not the church's fault. Man, that church. Every congregation in America has people that are upset with the church. The reality, you're upset with yourself. I truly believe we should have revival in the church. I don't want to be part, and thank God I'm part of the best church in all the world. I don't want to be part of any church that's not on fire for God. The Bible says in chapter number 2, he calls these people brute beast. He calls them, they're full of adultery, verse 14, that they're having eyes. They cannot cease from the sin. They're beguiling unstable souls. They take the weak and they prey on the weak for their own. Notice what he says in chapter 3, verse 8. I want us to read 8 and 9 together, please, this evening. Ready? Begin. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that they living in perilous times. Nation against nation, there's famine, there's bloodshed, there's murder. There's that word in the Bible in the last days that is the word we get, the word pharmakia or pharmacy, drugs. We live in that day and people are given over to drugs, and over to drink, and over to adultery, and over to fornication, and all the sins that are mentioned in Galatians throughout the Bible. A lot of sin around us. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know about on the television programming if there would be one program that would be family orientated. where the man is the leader and the wife is in godly submission and the children obey and respect mother and dad, I don't know what you'd watch. I don't know what you'd see. We are programming a generation of kids of lawlessness. I don't know all the programs that are on, but I dare say that dad is looked at as a foolish, dumb, imbecile, and women are dominant and children do their own thing. We live in that day. I don't have to convince you about that. We live in a day, and I looked again tonight as I got home tonight, and got cleaned up, and I sat down for a moment, and I always every day look at my police officers in America. None shot today, yesterday, yes. And I see all the police officers that have been shot and killed. What a lawless day. And I know we are living in perilous times. But I'm not coming to you about perilous times tonight. I'm coming to God's people, those that listen and hear as well. I'm coming to us on the subject of revival. I really believe it is in God's character. This could be in God's character. He is not willing. You see it there in verse number 9? He is not willing that any should perish. You notice that he is storing up in verse number 7. He is reserving fire. It's stored up. Revelation chapter 8, Revelation chapter 11, Revelation chapter 16. There's fire that's going to be released from the earth. There's going to be earthquakes in those same passages. There'll be hail. Oh, there's going to be great judgment, bloodshed like this world. But that's not what God wants to do. He said, I'm not willing that any should perish. Would it not be in God's character one more time to send a worldwide revival? I believe it is in God's character. I'm talking to our friends in Egypt tonight, in Bahrain, and in Israel tonight. And I'm talking to people that are in Ukraine tonight. And I'm talking all of South America and Central America and Santa Clara, California. I truly believe, and I want to believe this way. Yes, it's bad. That's why I don't watch the news. Yes, it's awful. Yes, it's bad. But there's still a God in heaven. And he is long suffering. He said, I'll suffer long. He's been storing that energy called fire. He's been storing. We had two earthquakes last week in Southern California. Oh, when our kids, we were so glad to hear our kids and grandkids were safe down there in Southern California. And in Arizona that moved over to. Grateful that God took care of our kids. What is an earthquake in the Bible? Always God is speaking. God is speaking to this country. God is speaking to this world. We turn our swords in the world against one another and our weapons against one another. But I would certainly love to be part of the last revival. One more sweep where God says, I'm going to go through all of California, that wicked, 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 wicked state. Nearly 40 million people, and with the preachers and the churches, I'm going to sweep one more time and give it revival. Amen. Revival is not a governmental thing. Revival is not a White House thing. They may feel the effects of it. Revival is not a senator or a congressman or a mayor or a governor. Revival is not businesses get revival. No, God's people get revival. What is revival? Finney said it this way, Charles Finney, the great preacher of the 1800s, revival is a recognition of sin. And tonight as we participate in the Lord's table, I want to challenge all of us to recognize sin in our life. Don't judge anybody else. Have enough right here to keep our own life right. Yes, sir. Examine yourself, the Bible says. I'm not to examine your life. I'm to examine my life. And I want God to bring it. I've tried to, even through the day and this week, get ready for this. I want my life to be so pure before God. God's going to have to bring anything to my attention. Failure in my life. And revival is a recognition of sin. A repentance or a turning from that sin. and a renewed desire to serve God. My Bible still says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, not the president, not the Supreme Court, unless they're God's people, my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and then will I heal their land. It's up to God's people. I pastor, in my estimation, I've said it twice tonight, the best church in all the world. I don't want to be a member of another church. I don't envy another church. And many of you that are listening, I thank God for your church. I know we have church colleges out all summer. There's tour groups out everywhere. I've run into some. And some came by here and talked to us here. And they're our friends and sister schools. But they're all experiencing the same thing. We're going to churches, and there's hardly any young people in the church. It's empty. It is empty. There used to be a fiber in young people's hearts, and I thank God for the good enrollment we'll have this year. There used to be a fiber that says, I want to go to Bible college and learn the Word of God and see what God has for me. And maybe it won't be the ministry, but it's a good place to find a godly wife or a godly husband. But we're so pressed in our homes in America, Christian homes. I want you to get a good career. Oh, I'm so thankful that I went back my sophomore year. 1 year, my dad said, take 1 year. I'm glad I didn't want to go back. Wanted to go to Vietnam as a Marine. But I couldn't get released from God. I really wanted. I'd been praying in high school and now in college, the freshman year, and moving into my sophomore year. I've been praying, God, what do you want? Yeah, I never saw myself preaching, but I never felt the peace that I could just leave and say I'm right with God until second semester, the winter morning. And I had a friend quit Bible college, and that day said, I'm done too. I don't want Bible college. I don't need Bible college. I'm going to be a Marine. I don't want this. I went to the first class of the morning. I was out by about 8:10. I went to my usual place and opened up my Bible. And I was that morning in Jeremiah chapter 12. I looked over those snow fields that morning as I read about 8:25 my Bible and was praying during that next class hour. And it said, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? And I wrote in that Bible, if I cannot make it in Bible college, I'm not going to make it in the Marine Corps. God would not allow me to be released from Bible college. I went back my junior year, trying to obey the rules and trying to do what's right, but I still never felt called to preach. I was too nervous in my senior year. I told God, it's too late. I'll get a Bible degree. I'll serve you, but I cannot be a preacher of the gospel. I'll stutter. I'll stammer. I'll be embarrassed. I can't do that. Young people, isn't there a burden in your heart? Well, yeah, I want to get a job, make money, and buy nice things and have nice things. What about this little bit of a window we have before the rapture about serving God? It is sad that these Bible colleges are out seeking to sing every night and preach every night, and they're singing to empty churches across. Not, I'm not talking about our church, our college. By and large, most sing to a few folks, and rarely you see teenagers. Something's wrong. That's not revival. I'll tell you the evidence of revival, Brother Poussin. When those buses that we run all over this region are packed filled with boys and girls and men and women come to the house of God. I'll tell you what revival is. When God's people say, there's no parking, but I can park over here 6 blocks away and take my Bible and walk into church, or I can get on a shuttle bus. That's revival. Revival's not coming in late and leaving out early. Revival's not sitting behind a pole so you don't have to see the preacher. Revival's not stealing from God. Revival says there's an opportunity, I'm going to give. There's an opportunity to go soul winning, I'm going to go. There's an opportunity to have a prayer meeting, I'm going to pray. Opportunity to go to a bus meeting, opportunity to be a Sunday school teacher. And let me just say this. Your class has been given to you as an extension of my ministry. And if the day comes you don't believe like me and this church, I wrote it down 44 years ago, we don't believe in drinking around here. Go to the movie house, go to the dance, dressing like the world. We don't believe in that. You say, well, I know all the other churches do, or this church does, but I don't. And if you're teaching that in any class, I expect your resignation this week. And you don't have to have a conflict and quit the church over it. You ought to get right with God. You say, well, will you forgive me? I taught that. Yeah, I'll forgive you, but you're not teaching your class. You need to be in class. We're not going to start saying wine is okay. It's not acceptable. Well, Bible college, you don't need to. Look, I'm for it. I've talked people out of their second year because I meet with them and they said, Pastor, I have this burden about computer or aviation or nursing. Well, they gave a year. God bless them. Don't have to stay. They can have a career like many of you that grew up here and have a career in this church and be good church members. Good night if the people that went to Bible college for a year or two or three or four wouldn't have gone into business. Good, our church would be empty. But we're not going to start dabbling around with, well, I believe this music at home, but I believe this music here. This church has had a ministry that God has blessed for 44 years. I don't say it rude, but many of you weren't even born 44 years ago. Don't change this thing. You know what revival is? When the altar, talking about this, Brother Brown at Deacon's meeting last night, when the altar's filled and when you still use Kleenex and when people are wiping their eyes and praying and begging God, say, I want to just be so right with God. A revival is when we see the waters baptism stirred all the time. Revival is where we see our Spanish ministry go, our Indian ministry go, our Filipino ministry go, our deaf ministry go, every single one moving forward. Revival is when we see tears during the service. Revival is when little 11th grade girls stand up here to sing. Had it not been, we say, praise God, not just for the song, but for those little girls. That young boy, high school boy that played the piano. I tell you what revival is when bitterness is released and when people bring out a shout again and the house of God is a great place where there's kindness and helping our brother. How can I help? And caring for the widow and caring for the fatherless and caring for worldwide missions. That's revival. Do you really want revival? Do you really want God's power? Do you really want His Spirit to control your life this hour? Oh, I want revival. Yes, I really want revival. And I think you do. I'm just amazed what God's people here do. People stop by regularly. One of my staff members said, you know, someone stopped by this week and gave me a gift. I want you to be aware of it, Pastor. That's a good staff member, but that's a good layperson. See, maybe I could be a help. We've had this summer lunch provided so many times for us. People just said, we'll be by with lunch for the entire staff and people working there today. We've had people volunteer. Our theme this year is serving the Lord. And people have been volunteering about this and this and this, washing buses, washing vans, washing shuttles, fixing them, repairing, working in the mechanics, vacuuming the buildings, the house of God. We're going to be August the 20th. I think it's our 13th, 14th year in this auditorium. And we've never paid janitors. God's people always, always vacuum it and clean it. What a blessing. I can recall a sweet, sweet man and his wife. Sitting right there about where Brother Sly and his wife are sitting tonight. I love that old guy and his sweet wife. I pastored him 33 years. I called him Dad, and I called her Mother. My dad was a deacon here, and of course, he passed away a few years ago. I was so burdened for revival, early days of our church. And I said to the deacons, have any of you men ever been in a revival? We have several deacons tonight missing. We on business or on vacation. We have 39 deacons. I think back then we must have had 20, 25. And I said, fellas, have any of you ever seen a revival? And I said, I've seen good meetings. But I mean the revivals where I've read about, where people just couldn't get enough preaching, enough singing, enough testifying, enough getting right with one another and right with God. And it lingered. And all of a sudden, that sweet old man, elderly man, my dad, raised his hand. He said, well, Pastor, I believe I saw one revival. It had to be back in the 30s, I'm guessing, late 30s. Maybe the early 40s. I'm guessing it was around the World War II era. My dad said I was in Racine, Wisconsin, working the farm. They had morning meetings, and they had evening meetings. He said a preacher came, an evangelist, and he began to preach. And as he preached, not a lot happened that first week. But he said, I believe God wants me to stay on. And he preached a second week. These were farmers. These were men. You milk the cows at 6 in the morning. You milk them 12 hours later at 6 at night. You don't take vacations. You're milking those cows. And it went on for the second week. And things began to move a little bit in the third and the fourth week. In Racine, Wisconsin, the fourth week and the fifth week. And my dad said, in that sixth week, we were just witnessing something unbelievable. I said, who was the preacher? And he said, well, his name was John R. Rice. He came, and people came, and it grew, and people kept coming. I imagine those days there wasn't a lot of advertisement and brochures and things of that nature. I have been in so many good meetings where across this country I've seen God move. And I've been in so many great services here with these men and other men in our church that preach and staff members and evangelists and preachers that come in. I've seen some great services here. Some amazing invitations where God just moved in. But I've never seen a revival. A preacher was preaching. He was so burdened for revival, and he'd been preaching for several weeks, and he said, I'm going to close it down. Nothing's happening. He preached the next night, and he says, this is it. There's something going on here. I don't know what it is, but there's something that's quenching the Spirit of God, grieving the Spirit of God. And a man stood up over here and said, I'll tell you exactly what it is. He called a name out, Bob, George, whatever it was. George, it's because of my attitude of you over there, this church, this area will never have revival. And until I'm willing to get it right with God so I can get it right with you, we won't have revival, preacher. I'm coming saying I'm wrong. I'd like to meet you. And they both came. Something started happening. Isn't it like our Lord? He is not willing, it says that he's not willing that any should perish. I don't want anybody to go to this place where I've got my fire reserved. It's stored for one long eternal night. I don't want people to go there. I'm not willing that any should perish. I don't want people to perish, Jesus says. It is in his character one last time to sweep through the churches of America and the world. That has been my theme about the last 15, 16, 18, 20 months. I pray for it one last time. We'd have to do like Spurgeon. Next Sunday, he preached an auditorium of 5,000 people three times. He filled it a Sunday. No transportation like we have today. And he said, I'm going to ask once a quarter, we always do, church members, unfortunately, there's no room. I'm going to ask you to stay home and pray. He said, I have 500 men below the pulpit right now praying right now for revival and praying for this church. They're there every service. But he said, I'd like you to stay home, and all three services next week are for visitors. That's experiencing, I think, revival.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.